All right, well, so let's begin. So we're picking up a new section. We finished off Avas Hashem. We finished off Avas Hashem last time. And now we're going to get into the section of Kirvas Hashem, closeness to God. So says the Mechaber, Kirvas Hashem, so section 171, Kufayna, V'hini v'achar shazacha adam, v'nafsho chasha begilis ahavaso elavis baruch shemo. So after, again, in the last chapter, we've mastered the love of God. Now, of course, again, we say that tongue-in-cheek, we haven't mastered anything, but at least we've learned about it. So remember again, just a quick review, we learned about two different types of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learned about Ava HaTluya B'davar and Ava She'in Tluya B'davar, love that is dependent on something, which refers to the fact, I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of what He does for me, because of what He gives to me, and Ava She'in Tluya B'davar, I just love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just a love that is not rooted in any specific thing, but a love that just exists. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu because. So now that we've established that, that's Ava Hashem Yisparach Elav, Hein Ava HaTluya B'davar, Hein Ava She'in Tluya B'davar, Ata Avodaso La'agia L'Nekuda HaPenimah Shel Avodas Hashem Yisparach V'Tachlisa V'Kirvas Hashem V'Dveikus Bo. So now that we've spoken about love, we now have to come to the real ikker, to the real fundamental of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the real fundamental of our relationship with God? It's Kirvas Hashem, closeness to God, and Dveikus. Now we're going to get really into very holy concepts, the very holy concepts of what it means to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to connect with Him. Now, I just want to point out something very interesting. What the Mechaber is already teaching us, by the way, is you can love God, but not be close to Him. Right? Just like I have family members I love, I'm not necessarily close with them, I love them, just like I love all of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't mean I'm close with all of Klal Yisrael. So love is a connection that could exist, or is an emotional connection that could exist, but doesn't necessarily mean or engender or create closeness. It's an incredible dichotomy.
We learned this early, very early on, right? We talked about what you said, you could be far
right,
away from
correct.
Them,
and so that is correct. That is correct. So now what the Mechaber is saying is the following. So now that we've established love, you see, we're often conditioned to think that loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the pinnacle of religious or spiritual accomplishment, which makes sense because even the emotional tells via haftas Hashem lekecha, our desire is to love God. That's true, but there's something, you know, there's something even stronger. You know that you don't have to shut it off. It's maybe you can keep it on too. So you know, again, just to point this out, just to show you, illustrate this, the Torah uses the lashon by God. It says v'davakta bo, v'alachta b'dracha v'davakta bo. You're supposed to cling to God. The only other time the Torah uses lashon of v'davak is where, by marriage. It always comes back to marriage, right? Al kein yazov ish es aviv es imo v'davak b'ishto. So it's interesting that word devekos, which means to cling, is used by God and is used by marriage. What's the comparison between those two relationships? It's a very simple idea. In almost every other relationship in life, even if you're not present, you could still sustain the marriage. You could still sustain the relationship. There's one relationship where if you're not present, it's going to be not unsustainable, and that's marriage. If somebody is, meaning in the marriage, it's not just enough for me to love my wife. If I love my wife, but I'm never present. If I love my wife, but I never spend time with her. If I love my wife, but I'm not there for anything emotional. I'm not really vested in the relationship. The love might be there, but if there's not a debook, if there's not a connection, if there's not a togetherness, that relationship phrase. It's the same idea with God. It's not just enough to love God. That's why the Torah Dafka uses that same verb, v'davaktavo. There has to be an intertwining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I could love at a distance. I could love from afar. But the goal ultimately, again, is the sense of devekos, the sense of connection. What he calls this kirvas Hashem, this closeness to God. Which is an incredible thing, because often we don't think about this. We often think the goal is to love. No, goal is a step. Love is a step, but ultimately the goal is that kirva, that closeness. That's what we're going to focus on. Kufayin Beis 172. Reishis ala adam likvam machshavto be'emunas umam. So now, the first step in establishing this closeness to God is that a person has to embed a certain mindset within themselves. Emuna gimura v'chazaka ad l'mod, shakadosh baruch hu nimtza b'chol makom mamish mamish. It's a beautiful lashon. Shakadosh baruch hu nimtza b'chol makom mamish mamish. Not one mamish. Two, right? I'm sorry. Right, correct. This is also the lashon of the Baal Tanya. The Baal Tanya says that the neshama is chelok eloka mima'al mamish. Mima'am mamish. So mamish is almost like that word that, lest you think that there's any hyperbole, right? Lest you think that I'm just using this metaphorically. This is a literal statement. This is a literal statement. So Mechaber says, a person has to believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is nimtza b'chol makom, in every situation, mamish, mamish. You know, this is the famous Meir, Rabbi Nachman. Va'afilu b'hastara. See, we often think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only in the good times. He's only, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. B'chol makom mamish mamish. He's everywhere. A person has to think that way. B'davar zeh, yochal le'asos. So says the Mechaber something amazing, which if you think about this for just a moment, it makes a lot of sense. If our goal is kirvas Hashem, so how do you accomplish, well, we'll discuss multiple steps, but how does one ultimately get to a level of kirvas Hashem, of closeness to God? Well, if I understand that God is everywhere, and God is to be found in everything, and there is no circumstance that is without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition, life becomes Kirvas Hashem. If God is everywhere and God is everything, then by definition, wherever I am or whatever I'm doing, I am close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person has to work in instilling this mindset, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza b'chom makom mamish mamish. The davar zeh, yachale asos. There are two ways to accomplish or to reach this mindset. Number one, he says, Hein. Hein ayideh is boninus pshuta, mitoch emunat tmiyam b'divrei chazal HaKadosh. So again, one way is contemplation of simple statements of chazal. Right? So again, Chazal speak about this concept, this dynamic in many different places. This idea that Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere. So sometimes the best way to drill in a particular ideology or theology is to constantly review a particular concept. Repetition. Other times for others, it may be by delving into the esoteric. By going ahead and focusing again on Torah's Hanistra, the esoteric pieces of Torah. Maybe through that, ultimately again, one is able to go ahead and reach this level. Shosekes umiva'eres is inyon zeh. Sof kol zof. Avodas kol yachid v'yachid. Likboa zos b'machshavto. Be'emuna gimura. Shekein hu ha'emet hamuchletes. Shashem yisparach nitzav liyado. So at the end of the day, says the Mechaber, however you're going to get there, some people get there through intellectual contemplation. Remember again, what the Mechaber is pointing out over here is, what's the goal? The goal ultimately is kirvas Hashem, to feel a closeness to God. How do you feel a closeness to God? Where the first step is a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Wherever I am, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as well. So by definition, if I believe that, I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I reach that reality? Different people reach that reality in different ways. Some people, you know, Soloveitchik speaks about this idea, I think he mentioned in the past, about the different mediums through which one goes ahead and reaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rav speaks about the intellectual medium, which is Talmud Torah, and he also speaks about, again, what I believe he calls the volitional medium, where actually, it's not volitional medium, I forgot which medium it is, but it's the use of nature. So it's actually, Rav Soloveitchik quotes a William James, who says that one could stand underneath the starlit sky and feel the breath of infinity against the nape of their neck. That's the wording that the Rav says, that there's different people come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways. Some people it's a Blat Gemara, some people it's a sunrise, some people again, it's whatever it is. So, however, I'm going to get to this level, to this recognition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza b'chol makom mamish mamish. Remember, that's our new mantra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza b'chol makom mamish mamish. However, you're going to get to that. You want to get to that by learning ma'amari chazal, statements of chazal. You want to think about that by learning more esoteric concepts. Fine. However, you're going to get there, just get there. B'cholis v'yachzor pamim rabos ma'od al divrei harama b'reish harachayim. Sheheetik inyon zeh medivrei harama b'mor nevuchim. And again, a person should go ahead and remember the words of the Rama that he quoted from the Rama Mor Nevuchim. Remember again, that's the Rama talking about Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit, Zekla Godol Batorah. So remember that God is always with me, God is always opposite me. V'chein yikra b'divrei ha'mesilas yisharim perek yiras achit. V'yachzor al kach alfei v'asaros alfei pamim kipshuto mamish v'yaser al kein. So the Mechaber will say, you know, this has always been in this Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. If we've seen one theme over and over and over, it's, or I should say two themes. It's number one, the most important things in life are very basic and simple principles. Nothing that's meaningful in life has to be complicated or esoteric. The most meaningful things we need in order to be able to leave meaningful and impactful are simple yisodos. But they're often overlooked, and therefore the only way they're ingrained is through constant repetition. He goes on, Ada sheyikva, fine. V'yargilas atzma b'chol eis shepanoi. And a person has to reinforce this idea. Kodesh Baruch Hu nimtza b'chol mako mamish mamish. Whenever I have time. Kigon sheholeich b'rechov. Listen to this. I'm walking in the street. You know, there's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. You know, it's a very strange Mishnah. The Mishnah says that somebody who's walking, Holich Baderech Va'omer, Kama Noah Ilon Zeh, Harezim Ischai B'Nafsho. Right? Somebody's walking on the road, and they say, oh, what a pretty tree. You're liable for your life. Right? It's like you're liable, like you took your own life. What does that mean? So the idea is, the Maharal brings on, the idea is that, you know, we'll say, if there's one thing that most of us really don't have in life, it's alone time. You know, I don't mean alone time, you know, when there aren't other people. I mean alone time like alone with yourself. We don't really have that in today's age because we're always connected. So the Mishnah says there are times, however, when you do have alone time. Person's walking. I often find this, like if you're walking to shul. So the reason, if your kids are with you, you're just walking to shul, it's very serene. It's very serene and very profound time to be able to think, to be able to contemplate, to be able to reflect. So what am I thinking about? What am I contemplating about? So this I'll also tell you, by the way, that there are different schools of thought in this. Like in Chassidus, there's also the concept of just mamish, like clearing your mind. Sometimes a person has to learn to declutter emotionally, to declutter intellectually, in order to be able to have space to absorb certain ideas, a certain hashkafas haChaim. You know, sometimes it's like there's so much stuff that's stored up here that's occupying so much space, premium space, that I sometimes have to just declutter. The Mechaber here says, and this is the approach of the Maharal and Pirkei Avos as well, that no, a person is supposed to use that quiet time to reinforce basic yisodos emunah, to reinforce basic principles of belief. And we're not talking about rattling off the Rambam's 13 principles. It's talking about Shekhodesh Baruch Hu nimtza b'chol makom mamish mamish. So you're walking alone, just say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I believe in you. Well, Hashem, so I want you to know, I believe in you. I put on tefillin every day. I give tzedakah. I do chesed. Of course, I believe in you. I want to say, sometimes a person can go through all of the motions, and lav dafka, they're motivated by emunah. Sometimes they're just motivated because we're on cruise control. This is what we do. So therefore, he says, a person has time. Holich berachov, mechake le'inyan misuyam. Or again, I'm sitting around, and I'm waiting.
That's the curse of the cell phone. That we're never alone anymore. You're in your car driving, you used to have quiet time, you have your cell phone.
That's
Shabbos on, when you're walking to shul, might be the only time when you don't have everything going on.
100%. 100%. Look, I remember. You remember the days like of Torah tapes? You know, you would get into your car, there was nothing to do. You had to drive somewhere. There was nothing to do. So again, oh, you can listen to music, you can listen to, I'm saying, even listening to music is good. I'm saying a person clears their mind, a person inspires their neshama. You're right. We don't have, this is the challenge of our dar. The challenge of our dar is hisboditus. You know, hisboditus, being alone with oneself, contemplation is, it's not just, everybody thinks it's from Chassidus. It's true, Rabbi Nachman the Baal Shem Tov definitely popularized it. But the Mesillas Yesharim writes about it also. And again, even in basic Sifrei Hashkafa, that Rabbi Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, you have to have time with yourself.
If you don't. Was it Novartis or somewhere that the Bachman used to go out to the forest and be alone? You know, they would take a walk to be alone and wait.
Right? It could be Novartik. I'm saying, I don't know if Novartik, but again, this is Breslov, Rabbi Nachman did this, you know, the Baal Shem Tov, you know, the Baal Shem Tov was orphaned at the age of 5 years old. He grew up in the forest. He raised himself. He went from orphanage to orphanage. He raised himself in the forest. And he said those years of being in the forest were the most impactful. He credited his childhood for being able to become Rabbi Saul Baal Shem Tov. He was orphaned at 5 years old. He credited the hismodidus of the forest. Rabbi Nachman, who's a great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, picked up on the same yisod of the Alter Zeda, that you have to have time with yourself. If there's no time with myself, when do I ever get to assess? When do I ever get... And by the way, it's in everything. This is a much bigger topic in general about how we never have time to think. And by the way, it's worse. It's worse because in the age of instant communication, you know, it's not that we don't have time for ourselves. We don't even process before we respond, like before we think, we say stuff right quickly, and then right, I'm not. we say stuff, right? and then only after is it, oh, that might have been offensive, right? Or I could see how someone, like, they just like this reaction, just shoot it out, just say what you have to say, which is horrible. Which I don't remember where I was talking about it. I was, where was this? It was something to do with Shalom Bayis, but I don't remember it. Did we speak about this?
You're already thinking what you're going to respond to the person when they're
before they ever saying, okay. So I was giving this example in a Shalom Bayis context. I don't think it was this year. I don't remember. All right, so if it was prepared, I apologize. Seeing that the idea how even today one of the big obstacles in Shalom Bayis, in marital communication, is that so often, I can't tell how often I see it, that couples communicate about important things via text. Via text, right? Having an important conversation with my spouse via text. Couples fight via text. They raise kids via text, right? Everything is happening via text. And here's what's amazing. You know, it will say it's very important in general that a person make sure to call their wife a number of times throughout the day just to say, I love you. Just say, I love you. It's okay. So what happens in the absence of phone calls? So people go out and they send a text. So I send a text. Okay. But here's what's amazing to me. You know, if you notice again, and maybe again, this is probably age dependent. So if you're sending a text of I love you, how would you send that out?
Smiley face.
Right? Smiley face or I L U V U. I said, like, can you imagine this? This is the person, this is your Ezer Kenegdo, right? This is your partner in life. And you don't have enough time to write L O V E Y O U? There's not enough time. You're like, what are you, the President of the United States? Like, you're on Air Force One. He has time, right? Hey, who are you exactly that you don't have enough time to tell the most important part, that you have to say, I love you in shorthand? It's not enough that you're not calling, right? It's not enough that you're not doing on text, but you can't even spell it out. What is that? So, and by the way, so it could be that today maybe people are just used to that already, said it's not offensive. I would never in a million years think about doing that. Never. It doesn't make sense. It's such a pagan in the covet of one's spouse that you don't have enough derechares. And if you're that busy, I always say this to people also, like, if you have to check your cell phone during davening, you are probably putter from tefillah b'tzibur. No, I'm saying, if you're that important, no, really, if you're that important, because, and there are people, there are definitely people, there are physicians like that who have to be on call, they have to, right? I'm saying this seriously, if you are so important that for the 30, 45 minutes, whatever it is, you have to look at your cell phone, you don't have to have the dominion. I'm sorry? It is recording. Yes, you know, it's okay. I say this all the time. You don't have to have a minion. But again, because again, if you're that important, but if you're not that important, then understand what's the message you're sending to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, this is a much, I struggle with this all the time because I don't know that there's an answer to this. I don't know because it has become such a societal norm and it's fundamentally changed the way we communicate that a person, mamish, has to like buck the system. Like you have to go against the entire trend to learn how to communicate properly and effectively. But I have no doubt that that's why we see a spike in Shalom Bayis issues, and that's why we see a spike in lack of kavod, a lack of kibud avim, because communication just fundamentally changed. And of course, again, the repercussion for our purposes is we're never alone with ourselves. We don't even have to forget about communicating with the other. We don't know how to communicate with ourselves. We've forgotten how to be alone with ourselves. Well, so you know what happens. If you go ahead, if chas v'shalom, rachmana litzlan, lo aleinu, you leave the home without your phone, you know what happens? You get phantom limb syndrome. Right? You know phantom limb syndrome? Chas v'shalom, a person's an amputee. They can still feel the limb. Right? Right? They still feel the limb. Like mamish, like, oh, was that, you know, I confuse heartbeats, right? My heart palpitations with, is the phone vibrating? It's something, it's an amazing thing. It's fundamentally changed. We have no concept of both of those. But okay. Baruch Hashem, we're Bali Bechira. The same way I could choose not to check the phone during davening, the same way I could choose to write, I love you, just if anyone needs the spelling, L-O-V-E-Y-O-U, I could choose to do that, so I could also choose to be alone with myself. It's a conscious decision that I have the ability to make. And part of the reason, by the way, and it all comes together, you know, something interesting that I find, is today's day and age, the struggle in Yiddishkeit is not really with observance, if you notice this. Why? Why is struggling out with observance? Because it used to be that if you would observe, if you would be an observant Jew, you couldn't have this career. You could have, it's not Baruch Hashem, it's not true anymore. You could have any career that you want. You can have any career that you want. Right? I always say, no matter what you think about the president-elect, the amazing part is, there's gonna be Orthodox, right? There's gonna be Orthodox grandchildren. I'm just saying, like, you could be a from Jew, and you could be anywhere and everywhere. So, the Nisayon is no longer in observance. Our Nisayon is with Emunah. If you look at it, it's an amazing thing. We have unprecedented Torah scholarship and access to Torah, right? You can learn Gan Shas and not know how to read one word of Hebrew. You could, right? You literally master Shas. Our problem is no longer with learning. It's no problem with observance. It's with Emunah. Why? Well, you ever wonder about that? Like, why? We have unprecedented affluence, unprecedented opportunities, and yet we struggle with Emunah. The Rosh Hashanah has given us a golden life. Yeah, we miss, what's the pshat? Because, first of all, it could be just it's too easy. It could be a vayishma yishun vayivat, when we get fat, then ultimately again we kick, that is possible. But I think it's a simpler vart. I think it's because Emunah requires hispodidus. Emunah requires time with myself. Emunah requires a constant reviewing and drilling in of basic concepts over and over and over. And none of us are really ever alone with ourselves enough to be able to do that. So the fundamentals are not there. So I have incredible Torah knowledge, right? You have incredible access to knowledge. I know everything from A to Z, but like the basic things, the simple things, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Nimsa B'chol Makom Mamish Mamish, those are the things that are more challenging because we're not finding the right opportunities to reinforce them.
Does Rav think like a generation ago, they had more Emunah B'tachon because they reviewed it more and they studied it more?
Oh, absolutely. I think they had less distractions.
True.
So where there's less distractions, there's Emunah Pshuta. And there's absolutely, they had absolutely the opportunity. First of all, I think to Azbiel's point also, they were much more reliant. Meaning, we do live in a different unprecedented age of affluence and success, which we have to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. I think the Pashat Jew and the Shtetl felt much more reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his parnasa, right? Because if he didn't sell whatever he was selling, there was no food on the table. There was a different level of hashkacha, different kind of connection. And also remember again, what did you do when you got home and it was dark? what did you do? What did you do when the kerosene light went out? And say, what did you do? So you went to sleep, or you went to the base medrash for a little bit. I'm sorry?
Spoke to your wife.
Not too much. I mean, you know, you have to gedarim, right? There weren't the distractions. Today, a person could be busy. We all have days like this, where the day goes by, and we don't even know, like, what we did. Like, what did I do? All I know is I started on an email, and I read one link that somebody sent me, and, you know, one link leads to another, and there's, like, a whole, like, I spent my day doing a whole bunch of stuff, and I don't know, I didn't get anything done. They didn't have that. So they definitely found a much greater Emunah Pshuta, even among people who are not well-learned. So therefore, what we have to try to do is reinforce these concepts. He goes on, he says, Yachzer machshav tal iyan iskaleel, sheshem yisbarach nitzav liyado. I have to constantly review that the Ribbono Shel Olam is by my side. U'bishah asha over al inyon zeh. And when I remember this inyon, lo yasok b'shum avoda acheres klal. Oh! So here's the other challenge. The other challenge is, you can't multitask. Right? So you know today, by the way, it is virtually impossible, we all know this, to carry on a phone conversation with someone. Why? Right? Because you know, if they're by a desk, then what are they doing? They're for sure on the computer. Right? So you know that, right? If there's like a 3-second delay with the answer, you know, right? Or you quickly change the subject, you know, okay, I got it. Or sometimes, you know, you hear actually the keys typing, or you know, you hear, it's impossible. Meaning, our attention spans have fundamentally changed. See, he says over here, you can't multitask. If this chazara of the Ikrei Emunah is going to be, and by the way, it's a terrible thing also, because, you know, they say, Reb Mendel of Riminov, the great tzaddik Reb Mendel of Riminov, he used to lament the day that they paved the roads. He said, why? He said, because before they paved the roads, a person would travel by day, and when the sun went down, you would have to check into the inn. So you couldn't travel that night. So by definition, you have to check into the inn, you ate dinner, you daven Ma'ariv, you learned a little bit, you spoke with people, and then you went to sleep, you were a mensch. Reb Mendel of Riminov says, now that they paved the roads, people are going to travel by day and night, and no one's going to have time for anything. Right? So Rabbi Twersky quotes his Maaser Medrash, and he said, can you imagine if Rabbi Mendel Rabinov is lamenting the paving of the roads? Can you imagine if Mendel Rabinov were here today? And you know, we think we've become more efficient. It's not true. We might do more, but often we do more with less quality, right? We do more with less quality. So I might get more accomplished, but the quality of what I'm doing is not the same. The conversation is not the same. So he says, this only works, this reinforcing of Ikrei Emuna. It only works if, just even for that 5 seconds that I'm saying it, that's the only thing I'm doing. Just, and I will say again, these are not major time commitments, right? We're not talking about spending 3 hours on this. You know, this is, you know, this is 5 seconds. This is 1 minute. This is a total of 4 minutes throughout the day. Just giving my unadulterated attention to this concept and to nothing else. He goes on, he says, and a person just has to habituate himself to this idea of just reviewing these basic Ikrei Emunah, the same way that a person could review. A person could review Avas Hashem, Avat Tlui B'Davar, Avashen Tlui B'Davar, just to review the concepts of Kirvas Hashem, just to review what it means. Shechadish Baruch Nimtza B'chom Makom Mamish Mamish. He goes on, Ara Sheyifakim Machshavto, until it becomes established in my thought process. U'ba'ofen Tiv'i HaMachshava HaNiskeres Bakach, Li'itim Krovos Mo'od. And what happens is, like anything else that you constantly review and reinforce, what happens? Over time, it becomes close to you. Something you constantly review, something you constantly reinforce becomes a part of your psyche. U'bar HaDavar, Sha'avodazu Na'asis Hein Ayyidei Machshava, Vehein Ayyidei Dibor. Page Kuf Lamed, page 130. This happens both through thought as well as through speech. In other words, that this is a cognitive process and a verbal process. Sometimes it's helpful to think about things, but as we've learned about before, sometimes the only way you create realities is not by thinking them, but by saying them. Another, just an important you saw it in so many areas of life. Now, we spoke about this before. Not enough to think it, sometimes you have to say it. Just to somehow think about and verbalize the concept, the Ribono Shel Olam is by my side. And every person should go ahead and say it in their own wording. I will say, just go to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. You know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, when his father was dying, he was 5 years old, his father calls him over on his deathbed, and his father told him two things. Number one, his father told him, never be afraid of anything. The Ribono Shel Olam is always by your side. He said, also always remember to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your own language. You know, speak to God with your own words. You know what says, for example, the Siddur is a framework, right? Is a springboard for dialogical spontaneity. That's the goal of the Siddur. If my conversation with God begins and ends with the words of the Siddur, that is not a full tefillah experience. The Chazal gave me the springboard. Chazal gave me the framework, but then my goal is to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, this is, you know, they always say like, this is the way, like, you know what, you see this by women much more than you see this by men, right? Women know how to daven without a sitter, right? Men really don't know how to daven without a sitter. Because women almost have this ingrained in them, this ability just to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just using their own words. So even with this, reinforcing these concepts, there's no, okay, so I like this phrase, I like it. But I don't have to use these words. I can use any words that convey to me this idea. Let's finish this section. But the goal ultimately is to remember at all times that God is by my side. To remember this through speech, remember this through thought. Here's the operative idea. If I don't constantly remind myself that God is by my side, that Ribono Shel Olam is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nimtza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nimtza B'chol Makom Mamish Mamish, then this leads to a flawed conception that God only exists in the celestial sphere. Right? That's why, where is God? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, that is true, but he's just as much here as he is there. If a person doesn't constantly reinforce this, it's easy to relegate God and his influence ultimately to above, to Shamayim. Va'ani ala aretz. God is there, I am here. U'be'emes ze'eno kein klal. This is not true. Even we say, Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Va'aretz nasan livnei adam. That means the Bosham own Sham. I don't own Shamayim. He gives me this world to partner with him in creation, but he's here. He's by my side. And this is Ela Kadosh Baruch Hu Nitzav b'chol makom. God is everywhere. Uliyad kol adam b'chol isma. The Bosham is by my side in every single moment. Va'ayidei avoda zu, and through this avoda, al ha'adam l'salik machshavas hevel zu. So we'll stop over here. But again, the yisod ultimately being just to reinforce. We'll say it's amazing. You know, we could spend an evening just on the same basic idea. That's the takeaway message. And to reinforce within ourselves through thought, through speech, Kadosh Baruch Hu is by me, Kadosh Baruch Hu is near me. To take those opportunities, even if it's 3 seconds when I'm alone with my thoughts, to reinforce this yisod, because if I don't, I run the risk of what we'll call theological disconnect. That I believe in a God, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is there, and I'm here. When in fact, again, there's nothing further from the truth. Wherever I am, Kadosh Baruch Hu is right by me. All right, we'll stop over here. Let's continue with Kofayim Gimel next week.
No cell phone, for sure.
Sorry?
I'm looking at cell phones right now.
Look, you know what? I always see that. I think a person just has to be honest with themselves. If a person, sometimes a person has an extenuating circumstance, sometimes